You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Reminding you that you can get our daily newsletter. Go to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe up in the top banner. Good morning. Nice to have you back here up north. On this Wednesday morning, it's October 15th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Earl Ingram standing by in Milwaukee. Later this hour, we will be talking to the national president of Protect Our Care, Leslie Dock, about what is really at stake in this government shutdown. We'll also have Melissa Baldoff talking about our weekly climate check update, including the ways that in this shutdown, the Trump administration has been cherry picking the way that it ends funding for projects, making a nakedly political partisan axe to projects that are in blue states as opposed to red states. And again, that's not something that happened before, and it's not something we're supposed to be normalizing. That's the kind of thing that authoritarians do. It's why there's going to be a whole lot of marches and rallies across the country on Saturday called No Kings Rally. And those No Kings rallies number at least 85 in Wisconsin so far. And Earl Ingram is going to be emceeing the one in Milwaukee at the Cathedral Square Saturday morning, 11 a.m. And Earl joins us now. Earl, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Pat. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Tell me more about this. You're going to have a few friends and neighbors down there at Cathedral Square on Saturday.
Well, you know, I have to tell you honestly, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the first one of those rallies. And later on, I found out that there was 8,000 people, which is that's a pretty good crowd.
Yeah.
In Milwaukee. But when I started realizing that this was happening in other places across the world, but especially in Milwaukee, I really became, you know, kind of like a sponge and looking and trying to find out, you know, what this actually was and why it's happening. And then I got an email that asked me if I would be willing to do this. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, Pat, I'm honored, excuse me, because I'm from the civil rights era, and this harkens back to that time. We're in an environment where politicians, in my opinion, won't be able to fix what is happening in this nation, and that it's incumbent upon the people of this country to force our nation to correct itself.
Yeah, and we've got, of course, it looks like it's going to be very well attended. It's going to be very effective at helping shape public opinion that we know what this administration is trying to do. And we know that this must be the case because the administration is already basically making up stuff about it. You had Sean Duffy and other members of the administration out there saying, well, these are all paid agitators. This is all Antifa, whatever the heck that's supposed to be. The fact that they're feeling the need to do this early says they know this is going to be a big deal come Saturday.
You know, Pat, early on this year, there were rallies in Racine that I got a chance to kind of emcee the first one in Racine, and then in Menominee Falls here outside of Milwaukee. And I can tell you, Pat, that over 95% of the attendees were elderly people, 70s and 80s, and that's who they were. And so, you know, when you have rallies that have seniors who are, you know, at the apex and the forefront of them, that's telling you something. With what I understand with what's going to be taking place on Saturday, it's young people, it's the elderly, it's unions, it's you know, different religion, it's the entire human family, it's the American people who have gathered. And, you know, it doesn't matter how they try to slant it, at the root of it is suburban people, rural people, urban people, it's the American populace that is organizing and that is trying to bring a message that they're just not satisfied. And as you well know, Pat, for those people who struggle, for those people who are concerned about health, can you imagine not being able in the wealthiest nation on earth to afford health care? But at the root of it is those things.
No, yes. And it's not, you know, I'm already seeing comments like, oh, this is just a bunch of retired government workers. No, go actually talk to the people who are there. And by the way, this isn't like some Milwaukee thing and some Madison thing and all the college towns, you know, Eau Claire will have one. Again, there's 85 of them. I'm going to try to read a bunch of them in our last segment at just after 8:50 this morning. But if I can just say around the Milwaukee area, folks who can't get there, the sites include Conemaugh, Cedarburg, Brookfield, Muskego, Union Grove, Kenosha, Racine, Mount Pleasant, and Waukesha itself. There are people in all of these communities and dozens more who want to put themselves on the record as being opposed to what is going on right now.
You know, Pat, with that list you just, you know, ran down, anybody who can say that this is something, this is, you know, paid agitators, have really missed the mark. And as you stated, they're saying these things because they know at the root of it is a disgruntled populace of this nation who see their futures before their eyes and their grandchildren dissipating. And so they clearly are sending a message. I can't remember the last time, Pat, in this nation, that a group of people as diverse as this were organized in sending these messages. And it's not anything that's being put in place by politicians. There aren't going to be politicians with the microphones.
No, this is as organic as it gets with real folks talking about real experiences and real concerns going on with this administration. And so as we let's pivot here and talk about, you know, part of the dissatisfaction with the economy is that people feel like they have less control over it, not just themselves personally, but in their communities. And let's take, for example, the financial sector. And we're so used to the big conglomerates, you know, the city banks and all that out there, that we forget the power of hometown banks and lending institutions, and frankly, banks that are, you know, owned or run by members of your local community. And you've noticed a very troubling trend when it comes to Black-owned banks in the country.
Well, you know, as a young boy in the city of Milwaukee, there were four Black banks as I was coming up. And those banks, you know, we had a pass in this nation that was not so fair and equitable. And so those banks offered opportunities for the American dream for people of color. Most of those banks are all gone. I think in the city of Milwaukee, I don't even think there's one left. And so, you know, I talked with a gentleman in North Carolina who is the CEO and president of the second oldest Black bank in the nation. And he pointed out some things that are pretty alarming to me, but things that, you know, if you really gave it some thought, you would realize that at the root of all of it is an underserved community and people who really, through unfortunately no fault of their own, don't get fair and equitable treatment in this nation, even in 2025.
And did you say the number of what there was and what it's come down to?
There was originally 100 at his height, 134 Black banks in this nation. We're down to 27.
Yeah. It just again reminds me when we get to talking about, institutional racism and DEI and all that, and the reasons why you're looking for representation, you need to look no farther than that. And we could look at other areas too, black owned farms and other things. But I think it was important that you called that to our attention. We're talking to Earl Ingram from the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. Find it over at civicmedia.us. Click on shows to learn more. And in one of your most recent ones here, Earl, you are talking on the subject of education. And you know what it is about Milwaukee public schools. How do you get to the heart of what is the problem and what it is that we can do to make the Milwaukee school district stronger?
Well, Milwaukee public schools has a budget of over $1.3 billion. That is equivalent to the entire budget of Milwaukee County. So when we hear people say that there's not enough money in the district, it's not true. The money, unfortunately, goes towards benefits and salaries of many people inside of the district. The population of Milwaukee Public Schools, when I was a young boy, was 115,000. It is now down to under 60. And yet we still have the same amount of school buildings. We still have a budget that continues to increase, but at the root of it is benefits, and at the root of that is insurance costs, because, you know, while everybody else has to pay and struggle with insurance costs, Milwaukee Public Schools and the MTEA continue to get basically Cadillac and lifelong insurance that covers even after their Medicare eligible. They have these policies, these Cadillac policy, insurance policies that continue, and they're unwilling to yield on that. And so money that should be used to educate children continue to go towards retiree benefits.
That is, to me, so stunning to hear that there's similar facilities despite the population shifts. And it just gives that opportunity to again say that, I mean, we sound like massive cheerleaders for public education, because I am. That's why. But that does not mean, and please do not confuse that to mean, that everything is okie dokie and perfect and that public school districts can do no wrong. No, the baseline has to be a good quality education, but you have to have a certain level of accountability, not necessarily hostility like we see in the state capitol, but accountability at these school districts is extremely important, Earl.
Yeah, absolutely. And so at the root of what I'm attempting to do with the guest and a series of podcasts dealing with education is peel back, you know, the onion and realize that even though I'm a supporter of Milwaukee Public Schools, these are taxpayer dollars. And at a time when the taxpayers are struggling, we should make sure that we do everything within our power to not have school buildings that were built to house 2,000 or more students when I was a young boy going to Milwaukee to public schools, to now having 300 kids in a building that houses 2,000.
Yeah.
And saying we can't shut it down. Come on.
Come on is exactly right. So to hear more of that discussion on the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast, head over to civicmedia.us, click on shows and learn more. Earl, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for the visit.
Talk to you soon.
All right, take care. Still along the way, we're going to be talking to Leslie Dock, the national president of Protect Our Care. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Did you know that there is a way to yell at us without typing in all caps in the comment section? or you could actually yell at us if you wanted, and not even by phone, 855-75-CIVIC. You could use the voice note feature on the Civic Media app. So you could use the text feature, and you could text something in all caps. I can't believe you didn't talk about this, you jerk. Or again, it's National Grouch Day, so I'm being especially grouchy today. It could be, hey, Pat, Parker, nice job on such and such. You could text it. But you can also use the voice note feature on the Civic Media app, and you can record a little audio message, and that way just talk to us directly. We might play it back on the air. So give a look. If you haven't downloaded the Civic Media app, get it wherever you get all your other apps, and this one is going to become one of your new favorites to take Civic Media shows on the road live wherever you are going. Time for this week's Climate Check, and Melissa Baldoff joins us now. Melissa's a little tuckered. She was at the game last night, and that, again, you wanted to cheer. The crowd wanted so bad to explode, and it's just hard to do when the bats are that silent.
Yeah, and especially the way the game started off. I mean, you know, there's no better way to start off the first inning with that, you know, with that bomb.
Yeah. By Jackson Churio, yes.
By Churio. And then the bats were pretty quiet after that, unfortunately.
I know. It was just odd. And I can definitely feel the frustration that was coming from the crowd. But again, all they got to do is win one game in LA and then bring it back here for game six.
Or a couple.
A couple would be better. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, sure would.
We had the Dodgers number during the regular season. So I'm hopeful that we can keep that Brewers magic alive out in California.
I hope so. I really do. So let's turn to climate matters. And one of the things that I noticed and shared with you was in these times, there are people who never thought they would speak out publicly about things. Dr. Lyerly talks about it all the time. There are more doctors are talking about things than ever before. Same goes for meteorologists who, again, just want to be nice and quiet and give you the forecast and not rock the boat. But there are a growing number of people who are feeling the need to speak out. And one that I noticed recently was Bob Lindmeyer, who is a longtime TV meteorologist in the Madison area. And he published an op-ed in the Cap Times a few days ago entitled "Climate Denial by the Trump Administration is Costing Lives." And I won't bore you with all the details of the column. I think you should go see it. But Melissa, the point being that people are speaking out who never thought they'd be speaking out because they see things like this and go, I got to say something.
Yeah, I think that we're seeing a lot of people, kind of be radicalized by common sense, decency, and science, right? And this is one of those times where we've got somebody speaking out who maybe never saw themselves speaking out in this kind of way, in the perception of a more political space. And I think that's important for people to do. Anytime somebody has a voice and a point of view that they can, really stress upon people that these are not normal times we're living in, and the actions we're seeing out of the federal government are not actions that are in the best interest of the people of this country. And I thought that was really, probably one of my, I thought, best parts of this op-ed, which the whole thing was great, and I agree people should read this. But when he said, a responsible government would move to protect Americans from the harms of climate change using every lever of power available to stop the crisis from getting worse and help Americans cope with the impacts that they're already facing. And that is just the crux of it.
And then he couldn't have said that any better. He takes that then a step further and says that, the Trump administration has done the opposite. It has frozen funding for clean energy initiatives that would have cut climate pollution. And we have an example of that already in some of the other coverage of the week here with a story in the Wisconsin Examiner by Eric Gunn that says Wisconsin could lose $130 million as the energy department under Trump targets grants that were awarded under the Biden administration. And of course, this is happening across the country, but that $130 million in Wisconsin clean energy related projects, I mean, that's the Trump administration not only taking a whack at climate, but taking a whack at economic development and new jobs in Wisconsin.
Exactly. You know, so these are the grants that are, you know, at risk here are projects that help boost energy efficiency, expand energy battery storage systems, also workforce development, money that is going to help young people go into apprenticeships in the trades, the folks that are going to be building this clean energy economy. That is our future, whether the Trump administration wants to admit it or not. So, you know, this is something that, you know, is a benefit. These investments are a benefit across the board. And cutting this means that we're going to see, you know, higher electric bills. We're going to see more money coming out of people's pockets. We're going to see fewer opportunities for folks who are looking to get a start in a good paying career. So, you know, this is something that is going to really, really hurt across the board for Wisconsinites if this goes through.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Also, I would say, you know, some of these projects are, you know, are underway, you know, and so this is creates a lot of uncertainty for businesses as well when they start planning these large scale projects with the expectation that they're going to have investment and support from the federal government, and then that's yanked away from them.
Exactly. And it's a you know, it does something to a sense of trust that you have a Congress that has approved funds and an administration, the Biden administration, allocating the funds, and then a Trump administration trying to claw that money back. Again, just erodes trust in what should be a process that creates jobs and prosperity. Melissa Baldoff with our weekly climate check. Melissa, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Hope you get to go to a successful Brewers game next time, and have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right. When we come back, we will be talking to Leslie Dock from Protect Our Care about the healthcare stakes in the government shutdown. That's coming up next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Exactly 1 hour from right now, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be joining Jane Matinair and Greg Bach for Matinair on Air. Matinair on Air follows us every weekday, 9 to 11, across the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's talk now about the government shutdown, and it really is that simple. It's about health care. It's about affordable health care and whether certain cuts and price increases are, you know, enshrined and take hold, or if some of those can be undone so that health insurance coverage remains affordable to Americans. That's what's at the heart of all of this. And the group Protect Our Care has been working on this issue for well over a decade now. The national chair of the group, Leslie Dock, is with us right now to talk more about it. Leslie, good morning. How are you? Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for having me. Talk about this incredibly important issue that's about to slam Wisconsinites in their pocketbooks and worse.
Yeah. Now, when we talk healthcare, we can talk about several different things. There's the way that the, you know, the big bloated boondoggle from the Trump budget. I mean, there are ways in it that harm Medicare. There's, of course, the $1 trillion in Medicaid cuts. But then there's also the expiration of these enhanced tax credits, so that people who buy policies through the Affordable Care Act marketplace, so those policies are a bit more affordable. At the heart of this, Leslie, is simply that. It's what are Democrats saying that they want in return for votes that would help Republicans pass a bill that opens up the government?
What they're saying is that, and what they are saying is what the American people believe, that healthcare in America should be affordable. Republicans are refusing to come back to Washington and do the nation's business. They control all three parts of the government, the House, the Senate, and obviously the presidency. They could fix this any day they wanted to, but instead they won't even show up for work. The House of Representatives hasn't been in Washington for weeks. The Democrats are there. Republicans even refuse to come to the office. And as a result, there will be hundreds of thousands of people in the state of Wisconsin who will face agonizing choices about whether or not they can afford their health care. And, you know, this is a an economic issue for people. We all know in our families, when somebody gets sick, it takes over the kitchen table. And imagine having to face a serious illness, knowing that you can't afford to see a doctor. But that's what the Republicans have chosen to do. Let's remember that these are the same folks who are giving a $4 trillion tax cut to the big corporations and the richest of the rich. But when it comes to hardworking Americans, they won't even come to the office.
Won't even. And that tells you the fact that they're actually looking to exacerbate the pain that Americans are feeling should tell you something about where their priorities and where their values are. Now, there's an interesting distinction here that I think would help more people understand what's at stake. It's the notion of things that were temporary either being made permanent or at least being extended. So you mentioned the $4 trillion tax cut geared toward the very wealthy. Those are the 2017 tax cuts from Trump's first term. They were slated to expire at the end of this year or next year, and Republicans insisted on extending those and making many of them permanent. Now it's Democrats who want to make something either permanent or extended, and it's the enhanced tax credits. So, I mean, there's really no big mystery here, Leslie, that both parties see things that they would like to see extended. Republicans got what they wanted, but they won't even negotiate with Democrats for what they want.
Well, yeah, and I hate even to put this in the party lines in that way, because we're talking about the economics, well-being, and matters of life and death for American families who are going to see staggering increases because of this. You know, if you're, I'm just looking up a number here. If you're a 60-year-old couple in Wisconsin and you make $82,000 a year, as an example, your premium costs are going to increase by $20,000. Now, that's a staggering blow to people. And, you know, the fact is, just the service on the debt that the Republicans are forcing Americans to pay in order to have that massive tax cuts for the rich is larger, is a larger dollar amount than it would be to make sure that these help for middle class Americans doesn't go away. So, you know, it's not about the money. It's just that they believe people, hardworking people, should have to do everything on their own and lose their health care. And the other reason why I think it's important to be, yes, it's a partisan divide. Yes, in Washington, D.C., Republicans refuse to do it and Democrats are fighting for it. But in America, in the heartland, it is a totally bipartisan issue. 74% of Republicans want these want this economic help to come back. So this is not, shouldn't be seen as, it's really Republicans in government versus real Americans.
Yeah, and we got into this discussion earlier this morning about the, what I would label as amnesia, about what things were like before the Affordable Care Act. And I reminded folks that a 2008 poll among many showed that 82% of Americans wanted the system overhauled. So yes, while my last question was through a partisan frame, you're absolutely right to point out that Americans have known since well before the Affordable Care Act that our healthcare system needs to be more focused on the people rather than the, you know, the profits and the politicians. So it definitely sounds like the work that you're doing has the vast majority of Americans on your side.
Without doubt. And, you know, it's really, you can't even explain it to people. I mean, why would people do this? Why would they refuse to come to work? Why would they raise healthcare costs for hardworking people to the point where they're going to have, where, you know, in Wisconsin alone, over 100,000 people will probably lose their insurance completely because they can't afford it, and make believe that that's something that the American people want.
We are talking with Leslie Dock. He's the national chair of Protect Our Care about the stakes in this for all Americans, frankly. I know that people would like to say, well, this is just about people who are on the Affordable Care Act. But as we remember from, again, pre-2010, if you're going to increase the number of uninsured Americans, and that's what these price hikes are going to do. If you increase the number of uninsured Americans, they're still going to get care. So that's still, now it's going to be uncompensated care. And then we all end up paying the premiums. I mean, Leslie, you know all this, but yeah. it's a weird sense of deja vu from what we had in this country prior to 2010.
Yeah. And look, the fact is that Americans, you know, they were skeptical of the Affordable Care Act at the beginning, but now they overwhelmingly support it. But Republicans just want to play politics with this. And, you know, no one can really have a, there's no reason. You know, they throw that money away to big corporations any chance they can get. Yeah. But they won't do that for real people. I want to mention one date, because November 1st is when the open enrollment for ACA insurance starts. And that's the date by which when enrollees go to the website and want to have insurance for next year, they will see the staggering prices that they're going to have to pay. This will be amazing. And just put yourself in the shoes. All of us have in one way or another. If it's not us, we've had a relative or a family member. And now what they want to do, who is relying on quality care, and now they just want to take it away. See you later.
It's funny that you talk about quality care, because we do get people that say, well, you know, before the Affordable Care Act, there were more options and premiums were lower. And I felt the need to remind people early in the program, and I'll do it again right now. Yeah, there were lower premiums. There were more policies. And you know what? A lot of them were junk. And if you never needed them, well, then you didn't know. You just thought, oh, health insurance is cheap. But man, how many horror stories, Leslie, did we see of people who thought, I've never needed healthcare before. I've always paid my premiums. And now I find out that after years of paying premiums, they're denying me coverage. That was the way it was.
Pre-existing conditions.
Yes.
You know, you had a bad cough, they could deny you coverage. You know, you were born with something and you took, you know, you stayed in the ICU when you were a baby, your whole life, they can deny you coverage. So, you know, these are things that look, the healthcare system is not perfect. It's too expensive. We all agree. But instead of trying to make it better, these folks want to take it backwards, and they want to take Americans along with them.
And it continues to be a mystery of why they would want to do that, because, again, the whole point of governance is that you take something and you make it better. Instead, we've heard repeal and replace, but there was never a replacement. And I guess I would simply still ask the president, how you doing with those concepts of a plan? Because He was asked point blank in the debate, what's your replacement? Do you have a plan? And he says, well, I have concepts of a plan. Well, Where's that plan? And we're still waiting. You're not hearing anything new about a new plan from the Republicans, right?
Well, we're living their plan.
That's true. Yes.
They have a plan.
Yeah.
It's to take health care away from millions of Americans and make it unaffordable for many more. So they got a plan. I mean, don't give them the credit of being dumb.
We are talking to Leslie Dock, who's the national chair of Protect Our Care. And so in bringing this to a conclusion, Leslie, what is it that you'd like folks to do? Because I know people have been, they'll be at No Kings rallies this weekend talking about the cuts to Medicaid and Medicare.
Yeah.
But if when it comes to the enhanced tax credits, is that the thing that you would want people to call their congressman and tell them to, you know, protect and extend?
Yes, it's, you know, because it has this impending deadline, but we're still going to have fights next year on Medicaid and on Medicare. But this one is the one I think that's right in front of us now. And I think also, you know, look at Wisconsin and the people. You have one senator, Senator Baldwin, who's crisscrossing the entire state to build support for maintaining and not take for you know, not taking away these tax credits. And then you have people like Van Orden and your other senator, who's going nameless, but Ron Johnson, who won't even go, you know, Van Orden won't even go to work. So, So the thing to do is we have to convince those Republicans that this isn't about some weird ideology that they have. This is about the life and death of millions of Americans and their economic stability as well.
Yeah. Leslie Dock is the national chair for Protect Our Care, which continues to be highly outspoken on these topics. And of course, we've talked to Joe Sopecki many a time here in Wisconsin about that. And Leslie, we really appreciate you joining us again to talk about things from a national standpoint and giving us those Wisconsin figures as well. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for the visit and have a great day.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
All right. Again, that's Leslie. And we'll be talking to Joe Sopecki, of course, tomorrow morning, as we do every week, surely about matters related to Protect Our Care and the aforementioned No Kings rallies that I talked about coming up after the break. I'm going to start to review some of them. There's 85 of them. I'm not going to get to all of them. Maybe. Well, maybe so. Let me go take a big drink of water, wet my whistle, and see if we can get you linked up with a place somewhere in your area code that you might want to attend this weekend and let people know what you think about the current state of politics today. I'm Pat Coitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Remember, you can read more of what we do at Up North News by signing up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. And click on subscribe up in the top banner. Subscribe to our daily newsletter that Ellie Bordeaux puts together Monday through Friday, and then my Sunday politics newsletter as well. We'd love to have you on board as a subscriber. Head over to the website to do just that. All right, well, all across the country are going to be rallies again, and you heard Earl Ingram talking about them earlier this hour, because they were held originally, was it May? I don't remember now, but we had rallies all across the country. The Trump administration had only been in office for 3-4 months, but it was already looking like things were going to be going off the rails, and there were people that wanted to express themselves. Well, since that time, a whole lot more has happened, and a whole lot more people would like to express their thoughts on what it's like to have a president that sends troops into the streets, masked troops that do not have warrants, making arrests, kidnapping people right off the streets, disappearing them, making decisions on not funding things based on political party. We have members of Congress who are getting people fired because they want to deny them their freedom of speech to give an opinion on something or somebody that they happen to disagree with. We have somebody who unilaterally is putting tariffs in place willy-nilly. You never know which day it's going to be. Congress is supposed to have an oversight role about this, but they, of course, abdicated all of that. You've got all the grift that's going on, the billions of dollars that's gone into Donald Trump's pockets since he became president because of the rampant corruption. It's no wonder people want to maybe express themselves again. And again, what comes of this? What comes of this is people understanding that they're not alone in saying, this is not normal. We should not normalize this. And by the way, this happened another time. There's one other note from today's history lesson that I haven't told you about yet. But it was on this day, October 15th, 1969. That there were massive demonstrations across the country. It was called the Moratorium to End the War in Vietnam. And on October 15th, 1969, people all across the country marched in big cities and in small cities to make the point that we are sick of what we are seeing. Did it end the war the next day? No. Did it help lead to an end of the war? Yes. Because when enough Americans get together to express themselves in that way, it moves politicians. They do. They know who's calling their offices, not who, but they know how many people are calling their offices to express an opinion on this or that. And when they see the pendulum swing like that, they move along. And so that's why you're going to see a healthy turnout at places. And maybe some of them are close to you. Now, I don't know that I can get to all 85 of these in about 3 minutes, but let me tell you about some of them. I made a list basically up and down Wisconsin, left to right, top to bottom. So I'm starting in Superior, where they'll be at the Douglas County Courthouse at noon. In Bayfield, across from Seagull Bay at 10 a.m. There will be a Washburn one at 10 a.m. Ashland and Pearson Plaza at noon. Brule near the post office at noon. Hayward at Democracy Corner at noon. Spooner at noon. Siren, I love Siren. Siren at the traffic light. Siren at the traffic light. 10 a.m. on Saturday. Rice Lake across from Marketplace Foods at 10 a.m. Over to Eagle River, they'll be in Wall Street Square at 11 a.m. In Minocqua at Veterans Park at 11 a.m. Saturday. In Phillips at the Price County Courthouse at 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. In Rhinelander at Pioneer Park at noon. Let me pause here to say, you don't have to be writing these down. If you forget one, they're all at one website. No Kings. These are the No Kings rallies. NoKings.org. As I was saying, in Amory at Soo Line Park at noon. Ladysmith has one at 9 a.m. River Falls at the Public Library at 11 a.m. Menominee in Wilson Park at 2 p.m. In Chippewa Falls at the Peace Circle at 4 p.m. Eau Claire starts at 10 a.m. If you don't hear me give a location in a city, chances are there was a No Kings rally this spring, and I've been told that it'll be at the same location, even if they forgot to make note of it here. In Medford, across from the Farmers Market at 9 a.m. Saturday, Antigo at noon, Marinette Menominee, Stevenson Island Park at 11:30 Saturday morning, Shawano at Franklin Park at 11 a.m. In Wausau, the rally starts at noon. In Prescott, it starts at 9 a.m. In Marshfield, it starts at noon. In Juddville, up in Door County, the rally gets started at 2 p.m. In Algoma, Legion Park at 11 a.m. Stevens Point at 11 a.m. In Pepin, the Laurel Ingalls Wilder Park at 11 a.m. Green Bay has a rally planned for 3 p.m. Saturday. Black River Falls will be at the BRF Bridge at 11 a.m. In La Crosse, at Java Vino. I'm interested in a place called Java Vino, now that I know there's such a place in La Crosse. Saturday at noon. Sparta at the corner of Wisconsin Street and Black River Street at 11 a.m. Wisconsin Rapids at 10 a.m., Waupaca at 2 p.m. In Manitowoc at Washington Park at 11 a.m. In Wautoma at 11 a.m. In Oshkosh at Hiker Park at 1 p.m. Over to Friendship now, the Adams County Courthouse at noon. Mauston starts at 11:45. Montello at Daggett Memorial Park at noon. Ripon at the Little White Schoolhouse, birthplace of the Republican Party, starts at 11:30 Saturday. Fond du Lac at 9:30. Sheboygan, Peace Park at 1 o'clock. Viroqua, 10 a.m. Reedsburg at the Community Market at noon. Baraboo at 10. Beaver Dam near the Fox Brothers Piggly Wiggly at 11 a.m. Does it get more Americana than this? In West Bend, Republican as all get out West Bend, folks are going to gather at the Washington County Government Center at 1 p.m. Richland Center at 1 p.m. Sauk Prairie at the Highway 12 Bridge near Quick Trip at 10 a.m. Little Mazomani has a rally starting at noon. Waterloo at Veterans Memorial Park at noon. And then I can't get to all the rest of them here. We're in the final minute of the show. But Watertown, Oconomowoc, Prairie du Chien, Lancaster, Dodgeville, New Clarus, Albany, Monroe, Janesville, Delavan, Sun Prairie, Middleton, Madison, Monona, McFarland Park, Stoughton, Lake Mills, Cambridge, Fort Atkinson, Oconomowoc, Cedarburg, Brookfield, Waukesha, Muskego, Union Grove, Kenosha, Racine, Mount Pleasant, Greenfield, Shorewood, Cudahy, and Milwaukee, Cathedral Square, 11 a.m., emceed by Earl Ingram. Get out there on Saturday and express yourself peacefully but loudly. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Matt and Air on Air is next. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.